Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have got an absolutely fascinating topic today and a story that is, I think, one of the most inspirational and motivational that you could ever hear about. And it's all centered about those little guys with tuxedos called penguins. And my guest today, Diane DiNapoli, I'm being a little sassy there with a description of these fabulous birds. She's quite a gal, and this took a tremendous amount of time and effort, not just in putting the book together, but actually living through the experience of making sure that 40,000 of these wonderful, wonderful birds survived after a horrific oil spill off the coast of South Africa. Diane, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I wanted my audience to know that you have been very, very much involved with penguins at Boston's New England Aquarium. You've also dealt with them in the wild for a good 9 years, and you have been educating people about these fabulous birds for over 15. You have been considered a penguin expert, and I don't think many people can wear that kind of sign. And you've been on all kinds of programs. You've been on nature cruises to Antarctica and the Galapagos Islands. You believe you've talked approximately 250,000 people in the U.S. and abroad about these fascinating creatures, and you live on Boston's North Shore. Now, I have to say, absolutely mesmerized with this, because to have that many animals that would have to be taken care of. I was familiar with the Exxon oil spill because I traveled to Alaska quite a bit, have for a number of years, and I know how devastating that was on so many of the different animals, and there was such a big learning curve in dealing with that. Mm-hmm. But then this situation occurred. Before we get into what happened with the oil spill, I want you to share with my audience that penguins were not your passion when you really decided you were going to go in for a career. Tell us about what your real dream was.
Yeah, it surprises people. Most people think I've always been obsessed with penguins when they learn that I've worked with them and taught about them for so long. But in reality, I was always obsessed with dolphins. And, you know, Flipper was a very popular TV show when I was a child, which was about this very friendly and intelligent dolphin who would always rescue humans from themselves. And I went to the Miami Seaquarium when I was 5 and saw dolphins up close and in person for the first time and was absolutely mesmerized. And from that point, I wanted to work with dolphins. And that dream went onto the back burner for many, many years. It just seemed like an impossible fantasy. And when I was 32, I decided to return to school to pursue an education that would allow me to apply for an internship to work with dolphins. And that did happen. But in the course of my education, I also had an internship at the New England Aquarium, and that's what brought me to the penguins.
I was appalled when I read in your book that since 1971, there have been more than 150 oil spills with these massive tankers. And you bring out some information in your book about the International Bird Rescue Research Center. Also, you talk about, you mentioned some wonderful people, Jay Holcomb, Linda Elliott, Sarah Scarth, who also is a South African director of the International Fund for Animal Welfare. Tell us the circumstances of this particular spill. First of all, I want to repeat, I was appalled when I read that there were over 150 of these that these groups responded to. We don't hear about these things. We just don't.
No, we don't. And, you know, those are the ones that they responded to. There are many more smaller spills that even don't get reported. So these are just the ones where there was an animal rescue involved. So there are more than that 150, in fact.
Tell us what happened off the coast of South Africa.
Well, a ship named the Treasure was a 17-year-old iron ore carrier built in Greece, or owned by a Greek company, and it was traveling from Brazil to China, and when it was about 700 miles off the coast of Cape Town, South Africa, a hole appeared in the hull, and it's sort of a mystery as to what exactly happened. They don't have the answer to that, but the ship came into Cape Town, into that area, and then it actually sank a few days after arriving in port, and it sank between the two main breeding islands for the African penguin, Dasson Island and Robben Island, and these two islands supported 41% of the world population of the species, which at that time was a threatened species and is now actually an endangered species. And so 1,300 tons of oil spilled into the surrounding waters, and ultimately nearly 20,000 penguins were covered with that oil, and another 20,000 penguins were removed from their breeding island just before the oil hit to prevent them from getting oiled.
The process of dealing with something this massive, tell us how you heard about it, because you were busy working, right? And you don't have a huge crew of people that you work with at the location that you deal with these beautiful birds on a daily basis. And they're really something. And there, how many species of penguins are there?
There are now 18 recognized species.
18 recognized species. And that means there could be even others that we don't know anything about.
I say that because scientists have always had some discussion as to the exact number because of differences in opinion between whether certain penguins are subspecies of each other or two distinct species. And so until about a year ago or 2 years ago, it was thought there were 17. And then in the last year, two of the three subspecies of rockhopper penguins were declared to be separate, distinct species. So that's why I now say 18 are generally recognized.
With this situation that occurred, when did you first hear about it, and how quickly did you respond?
I was working at Boston's New England Aquarium at that time in the penguin department. I was a penguin aquarist, and we had heard about the Treasure sinking. You know, we were very connected with SANCOB, the premier rescue center in Cape Town that rescues seabirds, primarily penguins that are oiled. And we had heard about this, and we were following the events online. And 5 days after the ship sank, we received a phone call in the penguin office from Estelle Vandermeer, who at that time was the center manager at SANCOB. And she was calling all of the zoos and aquariums worldwide where there were penguins and begging the penguin specialist to come to South Africa to help them manage all these penguins that were being brought in and to help train all of the volunteers. And so 2 days later, I was on a plane on my way to South Africa with one of my colleagues from the aquarium and six other caretakers from zoos and aquariums across the country.
One of the points I wanted to bring out, too, is that prior to the Treasure sinking, there was an Italian vessel, the Erika, that sank off the coast of France, and almost all of the birds, and plus an estimated 150,000 to 300,000 others that were not recovered, perished. I read that, and those numbers are very difficult to wrap your head around.
They are. They're horrifying. You know, when I first was reading the statistics, I couldn't believe it myself. And I think one of the reasons they didn't have the same success rate and so many birds were oiled, there wasn't the response right away. The government didn't call in rescue workers, professional rescue workers, until a little later into the spill. And so that was part of the problem. And just it was a large amount of oil that was spilled, much more than was spilled during the Treasure spill. But yeah, those numbers are just very disturbing.
No, it's horrific.
Mm-hmm.
Because with that massive amount of numbers, there could have been total species.
Exactly.
Entirely destroyed because of this oil spill. Now, you people were appealed to all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You responded very, very quickly. And I was just amazed when I looked at the photos of the oiled birds, number one, but also the photos of the room number two at the Salt River Penguin Crisis Center. I mean, this was amazing. How many volunteers did you have working with you?
It was massive. The building we were in was a train repair warehouse, and it was separated into these four massive rooms. I mean, these rooms were delineated with these large, heavy black tarps. And the entire building, the entire warehouse, there were 16,000 of the 19,000 oiled penguins in that warehouse. And room two was the room that Heather and I, my colleague from the aquarium, were responsible for. And in that room, we had about 4,500 oiled penguins. And then each day, we would have between 100 and 250 volunteers that would come into our room to help us force feed and these penguins and swim them. And so in its entirety, that building had up to 1,000 volunteers a day coming into it.
Now, these volunteers came from all walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make any difference what economic class they were in. You had homeless people that volunteered their time. You had very, very wealthy people, I mean, and everything in between, because the call went out and the media was so supportive of this, and really everything was pretty much kept out there for the public to hear about and to work with. Tell us a little bit about what you had to do to train people, because here you were dealing with a severe crisis. You had thousands and thousands of these birds that they normally are quite noisy, but they were in a trauma situation. And describe what it was like when you came into this scene.
You know, it was something I never expected. We, working with this same species at the New England Aquarium, I knew they're very vocal birds. They have very loud braying calls that they make, and they're always honking and calling and communicating this way to each other. And the colonies in the wild are very, very noisy. This is how they communicate. And so when we were approaching this building that first morning, I expected to walk in and have this cacophony of sound filling the air. But when we walked through these huge warehouse doors, it was dead silent inside. And I was just stunned. And it really signaled to me, these are very traumatized birds. They're in a state of shock. They really weren't moving much. There were maybe 100 in each of these pens. They were held in these sort of round kiddie pools that did not have water. And they weren't fighting. They weren't braying. They just weren't behaving the way you would expect a penguin to be behaving. And so it was pretty overwhelming. And even in the 3 weeks that I was there, this whole rescue took 3 months. We were there for the first few weeks. I didn't hear any penguins vocalizing. And so that was very sad to me, that they weren't behaving normally at all.
Penguins are fascinating birds. They remember names.
Mm-hmm.
They remember people. And they have an intelligence that when you were there working with them, I mean, you said you had to learn how to handle them carefully, and you had to really discriminate about who could do what part of the handling, because the birds have very sharp beaks, and you can end up with lacerations and all kinds of things. How did you have to work with these penguins? Because they're pretty strong.
They're surprisingly strong. I think most people would be very surprised if they handled an African penguin to discover how strong they are and how wily they are. You know, they can really get out of your grasp so easily, sort of like a crazed cat, you know, and they have very sharp beaks, and so you have to be very careful when you're handling them to protect both yourself and them. And so, you know, with our experience, we had done a lot of handling of penguins at our own facilities, but we had to train these green volunteers how to do this safely. And so really, to safely catch a penguin, you try and catch it by the back of the head and hold it tightly by its head to prevent that beak from swinging around and biting you. But despite all of our best training efforts with these volunteers, you know, it's a very steep learning curve for them, and many people had very severe bites that incurred. And there was one woman in our room who, I heard this huge shriek one day across from the other side of the room, and I raced over, and a penguin had bitten her clear through her upper lip.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but you know, the remarkable thing about this woman and about all of these volunteers was she went out to the first aid station, the Red Cross was there, And she got her lip stitched up and she got a tetanus shot. And I expected her to go home after that. And the next thing I know, I turn around about a half hour later and I see her back in the pen feeding penguins again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was stunning to me that the commitment and dedication, it didn't matter to her that she just had this horrific injury. She wanted to save these penguins and she was determined to do that. And that's the type of, it was so inspiring to see all these volunteers who had that same determination and dedication.
One other fact that I found extremely fascinating was to wash these birds, to be able to get the oil off of them, the soap, Dawn, was used because they found from previous situations like this that it enabled the people who were trying to save the wildlife to get the oil off of their feathers, and it was very good at breaking it down. And I was amazed that there was a company, it's GNLD, and its distributors in Africa donated more than $11,000 worth of their light-duty concentrated LDC. I mean, you had thousands and thousands of birds. I mean, this took a massive amount of cleaning material. But what really blew me away, I'm going along and I'm reading all this information, 7,500 liters of the detergent were used to clean all of the oil penguins, mm-hmm. but it was a 17-year-old young man, Louis Nock. Now, you've got to tell us his story because he is just a fabulous young man, 17 years old. He really saved the day.
He did. I love this story. This kid just blows me away. When we were there, we started hearing this story about this young man. The first stage that you do when you have a heavily oiled penguin is you spray them with a degreaser, but that first stage degreaser before they go through the bath, before they go through the wash, is actually a lighter oil, because that lighter oil will start to break down a heavier oil. And this 17-year-old student, the year prior for a science project for school, had invented a first-stage degreaser, and it used cooking oil as its main ingredient. And they had been testing it at Sand Cobb, and they'd used it during an oil spill about 6 months prior on a bunch of Cape Gannets, and it was used very successfully. So they'd been producing it. And when the treasure sank and these 19,000 oiled penguins came in, they started using this first-stage degreaser. And partway through the rescue effort, they ran out. And so Estelle Vandermeer, again from Sand Cobb, called Lewis and his father and said, please, you have to make more. And so they went to the lab and stayed up, you know, night after night making more of it. And so something, this product that a 17-year-old kid invented helped save the lives of those 20,000 penguins. And I just think that's awesome.
That is, I'm telling you, this book is loaded with so many phenomenal stories about people interacting with people, dedication, resourcefulness, ingenuity, including you even had a penguin whisperer. You've got to talk about this very, very special man.
Yeah, welcome. He just touched my heart. There was a young man at Sand Cobb. My first half of my stay was at this Salt River Rescue Center, and the second half of my particular stay, I was at Sand Cobb. And when I went there, I met Welcome, who is of the Xhosa tribe. And this is the, people might know Xhosa because they have the click language. And the Xhosa, which I can't do it, but that one. And so Welcome was a volunteer there at that time. He had come in, he'd heard about the oil spill like so many people, and he'd come to volunteer. And he very, very quickly just became incredibly adept at handling these penguins. And one day my task was to draw blood from the penguins in a particular pen. There were about 500 penguins in that pen, and I had to draw blood from their between their toes. And there would be a person restraining and a blood drawer. And generally, you know, you're restraining a penguin, it's a wild animal, it's going to struggle. And when you poke it with a needle, it's going to struggle again. But when Welcome picked up a penguin and held it against his chest, the penguins would just completely relax. their wings would fall to their side, their eyes would close, and I would stick the needle between the toes and they wouldn't even flinch. And I've never seen anything like it. And in every penguin, he was like that with every penguin. And mm-hmm. so he was just an extraordinary man. And he became staff after the Treasure oil spill was over.
Well, I just think his story is just phenomenal. Now, I know that this was exhausting for anybody and everybody that was working there. And staff would come out and make you guys leave what you were doing to make sure that you ate, to make sure that you got your rest. Because they had seen too many people, they'd get so anxious and concerned and trying to do so much that they would literally collapse from exhaustion and food deprivation and, you know, dehydration. They just all they could see. I mean, you just to imagine 20,000 penguins there that you're looking at, and you know that their lives depend on getting things done. And even though you had over 12,000 volunteers, there were all kinds of levels of maintenance, responsibility, dealing with the animal waste, making sure that, you know, and the stench was overpowering. And you even had baby penguins that you had to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a heartbreaking thing that had to be done with some of them.
Yeah. You know, the main focus of this were all these adults that were oiled.
Mm-hmm.
And but when these adults were collected from their breeding islands, it was the middle of the breeding season, and it was the best breeding season they'd had in 25 years. And unfortunately, they had to leave a lot of the chicks behind. And, you know, it was a devastating thing for people to accept. But if you know the conservation strategy behind this, it's known that most chicks, a lot of them don't even survive to fledge, which means growing in their juvenile plumage and going off on their own. And then of those that do survive to the juvenile stage, with this species, only 10 to 15% survive to breeding age. And knowing this and knowing that with previous oil spills, that most of those oiled adults will be successfully rehabilitated and released back into the wild and will successfully breed after that, we had to focus our efforts on the adults because they are going to go out and contribute to the population. And so a lot of these babies, once the adults were collected, the chicks were collected, and about 3,500 were brought to the rescue centers to be hand-raised. But there were an additional number. Some of them had to be euthanized because they were too small, too young, and we required just way too much time and human energy that we couldn't spare to raise. And so a very difficult decision had to be made, and some of those chicks did have to be euthanized by injection.
Shortly after this South African situation was being resolved, there was an oil spill in Brazil. With this, you really found that your faith in human nature was shot up a few notches because of all of the involvement of different people. But as a professional and with your associates, when we look at these things, we have these heavy, huge, massive tankers. And being at sea, it can be rough at any level. I mean, it's a very violent environment many, many times. These situations, what's happening to be able to resolve this from occurring? Because we are damaging the environment so much. I mean, this is part of the necessity of our life to a degree, but at the same time, what can be done to eliminate this? And it's just appalling.
Well, you know, I think you just touched on part of it. Part of it is we each need to reduce our own reliance on fossil fuels and change some of our behaviors that, you know, when we think about everything that we buy as consumers, so much of what we buy as Americans they're being transported across the oceans on these ships. I mean, the Treasure was an iron ore carrier. A lot of the ships that sink are carriers. You know, they're transporting goods and materials.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of it, you know, the onus is on us as well to maybe change our habits and our behaviors to help reduce our reliance on the fossil fuels and on this transport across oceans. And in terms of the shipping industry, you know, there have been laws put into place that now ships have to be double-hulled, although a lot of ships have been grandfathered in, you know, it's it's a huge problem. I wish I had the answer to, you know, how we can prevent these ships from sinking. I wish I knew. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think we each can do our own part to help change that.
For those of you listening, this book is absolutely incredible. It is a real eye-opener on most levels. This is not written for the purpose of bashing. It is purpose of educating, making us aware that what we do on a commercial basis, on a personal basis, affects the planet. And when you look at every country in the world, here in America, we have been known for our resourcefulness, and we can pull it to the fore. The Great Penguin Rescue is an absolutely fabulous, fabulous book. I recommend it highly. I think it should be part of a book discussion in schools. I just really think it's something that Diane has done such an incredible job with, talking about all the people that made a difference, and I think you would enjoy it too. Diane, what's your website?
My website is thepenguinlady.com.
Thepenguinlady.com. The Great Penguin Rescue, I'm telling you, it is absolutely incredible as a book. Diane, again, DiNapoli, you did a fabulous job with it. It's about 40,000 penguins, a hideously devastating oil spill, and the world's largest animal rescue. Absolutely, absolutely wonderful. Diane, I wish you continued success. Go to her website, thepenguinlady.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. Telephone number to call in to if you would like to chat with me is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We may have a surprise guest, Rio, that's going to be calling in. She's back on the East Coast, and so it could be because of weather. You know, they've been having a lot of unusual weather back there, so if she calls in, we'll be chatting with her for a few minutes as well. I found that when I went through the book on the penguin rescue, it was such an education for me. And I think that it really demonstrated how each and every person can contribute in their own way to making a difference and making things better. And that is what really inspired me with this book, were all of the various stories in there, not just about the animals, but around the various people that participated in this awesome happening. And to be alert to the fact that there's a lot we are not going to hear on the evening news. There is so much going on in our world that if you can just focus on right where you are, just in your own immediate community, it can make such a difference. I think of the people of Tennessee, which last year, they were hit so badly with flooding. You hardly heard anything about it on the news. Yet the people of Tennessee pulled together. And they pulled together, and they helped each other, and they worked with each other. And it's amazing what they were able to accomplish. That's what makes the human being exceptional. And that is that there is a resourcefulness that the human being can pull out of themselves and put it to work. And that's what we all need to remember. Each of us, as Diane said, each of us have to do it in our own way. Maybe it is making sure that we don't use pesticides that are going to contaminate our water tables, or we educate ourselves about how we can do things more effectively and efficiently, and how we can support the people that are really trying to make a difference in the world and making it a healthier world for ourselves. And more than anything else, continue to educate ourselves, not just assume that we know and understand things. I've been reviewing some material with about physicians that's just absolutely incredible, and how there have been various physiological conditions that have evolved because of toxicities that we had no clue about, and how they have affected people. So all of this and more is just a marvelous part of this experience. And every generation is going to have its challenges. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. It doesn't make any difference. That's what life is all about. What are we going to do with what we have? And how can we be resourceful enough and inventive enough to be able to say, this isn't working, let's see what we can come up with. If a 17-year-old can do this in South Africa, by golly, there are so many others that can do even more. It's an incredible book. I hope you'll have a chance to get it. Okay, I wanted to let you know who's coming up tomorrow. We are going to be dining with the Dollar Diva. Yes, Elizabeth Cooper. She is such a delightful lady. And we're going to be sharing recipes with you. This woman loves to be frugal. The dollar store has been the passion of her life on so many levels. And how many of us have not gone into a dollar store to find something that we need? And it's amazing, all of the products and the items that they have there. Well, they also have groceries. And this woman made discoveries about certain things, and she puts together all kinds of recipes, and she's got delightful stories. So we're going to be talking with her tomorrow. And then on Friday, a very special lady by the name of Barbara Jo. Her book is titled Triumph and Hope. This is a woman who now is in her 70s, 72, I believe, And in her early 60s, she decided she wanted to do something different in her life. She joined the Peace Corps. Aha! Would you do that if you were in your 60s? Not many would get excited about going to Honduras and dealing with extremely primitive situations. And we're going to be hearing about that on Friday. So we've got wonderful guests, and I think we're going to be able to have the listing for all the guests up pretty soon, within the next 2 days. So you're going to know about those, and maybe you missed some shows. Well, you're going to know about who was on. And, of course, you always can go into the archives. We all lead such busy lives, and you have a chance to go back into the archives and to listen to shows that you may have missed. So just remember that this information will be going up fairly soon. And we've just got a dynamic lineup for this whole month, and I'm just so thrilled to have these people on the air with me. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Well, I thought I'd have a little bit of trivia that I would share with you. And how many times have we heard stories about people having certain physiological conditions and the doctors just will try medicines and do all kinds of things, and they just don't know what's causing something? Well, this is a kind of case that a physician just absolutely dreads to have, because they just assume or make assumptions because of the base of knowledge that they're working with that a particular condition has resulted. This is about doctors fearing that a 67-year-old Derek Kirchen from Norfolk, England, they thought this person had lung cancer. Why? This man had had pneumonia 8 times. And anybody that's in medicine knows that once a person has had a serious case of pneumonia, the next time they have it, they are just so vulnerable to it. Well, they found out the cause. It was a cashew nut. Yes. Somehow, a cashew nut got stuck in his lung for 18 months. Now, how in the world it got there, nobody knew. Fascinating stuff, isn't it? Also, I'm sure you've heard about the drug runners that will be hired, and they will swallow plastic bags of drugs, and many times it'll kill them, because the stomach can't handle it, and if the acids in the stomach dissolve the bag of whatever type of substance it's made of, then those drugs go into the system, and it's such a heavy overdose, it kills them. Well, there was the body of a British tourist who died on a holiday when the tourist was in Ireland. Now, this happened back in 2006. He was flown back to the United Kingdom with an extra heart and a pair of lungs. Wonder how that happened? Well, these extra organs were found in a plastic bag that had been stitched inside his body. So he was transporting organs. And then the last one I wanted to share with you is there's Bob Brophy of Hillsboro, Missouri. This man is an inspiration. He's blind, but he managed to graduate from college at the age of 72 with perfect grades. Blind, 72 years of age, graduating with straight A's. That gives you a little bit of momentum, doesn't it? This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Some special events are going to be upcoming. Also, I have some broadcasts that are going to be evolving, and as soon as I get all of those details and points of information available, I'll be sending out another email, and it's not going to be my newsletter, obviously, but I'll be sending out a bit of a blurb to let you know about who I'm going to be on the air with and when. So we're getting all of that together. And I want to thank those of you that are sending me such wonderful stories. I really appreciate it. And when I can, I'm going to be sharing that either in my book or also on the air. So I really appreciate the tips. Oh, by the way, I've got a recipe here for salmon, if you're like so many of us, after we've gone through the heavy-duty, goody-goody time with the holidays, we want to get back into eating healthy. So we've got a recipe here for a zesty tomato-topped salmon. Mmm, and this is really easy, but oh, is it going to taste good? And in the winter months, it's really going to feel good when you're eating it, because it's like, also I'd promised that I was going to give you some information from David Horowitz that I have a great deal of respect for regarding avoiding being scammed. So that's going to be coming up after the break. By the way, don't forget, you can go in, and if you want to get an email newsletter from me, which will have information about my upcoming guests, etc., all you have to do is go to donna@delphiinternational.com, and then I'm happy to add you to the free email newsletter list that goes out the first of every month. So do get that off to me if you'd like to have it. If not, you can go into my website, DelphiInternational.com, and you'll find all of that information right there. So let's take a break. We're going to be back in just a moment, and I've got, well, let's see, a recipe, David Horowitz's information, and also a little bit of the unique, the paranormal, the unusual. Mm-hmm. Got some of that, too. So we'll come back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. RawEnergyRadio.com.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. As I mentioned to you yesterday as well as today, that we really need to be alert to scams. And I didn't have a chance to share with you yesterday some very good information about that David Horowitz puts out. And I really think he presents the information very succinctly and concisely. So I wanted to share it with you. And this is what he said. He said, with the advent of the Internet, a consumer can be fleeced simply by entering 16 digits on a computer form. And you've got to be very careful. You want to be sure that you confirm that any sites you use for a monetary transaction are legitimate and reliable. Now, this is very important because he's been getting a lot of feedback from various consumers. They have been robbed by fake auctions, money sent in good faith. They find cars that they've purchased break down. People have bought musical instruments from stores that they found the addresses ended up being empty apartments. And the scam level, it is just getting so big. And he said, other shocking and unethical scams are in the field of charity work, using websites that take donations. And he said it really disturbed him that people are being manipulated emotionally and giving money to a charity that probably doesn't even exist. All of this is on the web. I don't know about you, but I've gotten emails of so-and-so has died or this, that, or thus has happened. And, you know, you think of the tragedy in Arizona that occurred with a congresswoman, and there's going to be all kinds of people that are going to say, gee whiz, this is for this is for that, this is for the other. Donate money, donate money, donate money. It happened with Hurricane Katrina. It happened with 9/11 in New York City. I mean, it's one of those things, and people are so generous. United States citizens are some of the most generous human beings on this planet, and they will just say, oh, if I have a buck, I'll go and I'll send it, or if I've got 5,000. Check on what you're sending out, especially when it comes to charities. Also, he said people that order vitamins and medications online need to be aware. There are a lot of products that are not what they say they are. They make false claims. And be very, very careful about foreign pharmacies. Also, parents need to be aware that teenagers can not only order strong medications online, but they can get all kinds of consumer products just by clicking their little mouse, and they might be especially prone to scams. So you need to be sure, if you have young people in your house, if you give them a credit card that it's not yours, you don't let them use your credit card. If you're going to give a teenager a credit card, make sure that it's very limited in the amount that can be used on it, and you might get one of those that you go in every time. You say, this is your allowance, $10, $15, $50, whatever it is you give them. And once it's spent, it's spent. They cannot do anything more than that. And you also want to be sure that you educate your young people about these potential scams. Now, apparently, there are some software tools available to protect us from getting hit by these schemes. And there's all kinds of services that are being offered so you keep your money safe. Now, if when you're shopping, you're asked to pay with a credit card via PayPal, you need to look for the golden seal. Now, it's typically located on the main payment page, and that verifies that the site is actually affiliated with PayPal. Other programs are VeriSign, which requires the user to enter hard-to-spell words, we've all seen those, to prove their identity, and Trust, T-R-U-S-T-E, dot classic organizations, such as Kelley Blue Book and AAA. They've got all kinds of great information on their websites. So we've got a world that is evolving at an incredibly fast pace electronically. So you want to find out about how you can use it more effectively. So you may want to, prior to making a purchase, let's say you come across something that's really exciting to you. Well, you want to call the company and ask questions about their business. You want to know how long they've been around, how many customers they service, how many employees they have. And if you're going to be buying a car online, check with your mechanic. Kelley Blue Book and other sources such as Carfax to find out the car's history. And you need to check trusted and authoritative sources for the information that you need. And he said, remember, in any transaction, you have power, the power to research and the access to knowledge, and you can say no by not sending money electronically. But he said, remember, once you press that send button and the credit card payment has gone through, it's often too late for you to get your money back. So he said, it's your responsibility as a consumer to keep from getting ripped off. Don't set yourself up where you're going to get hit by something like this. So, again, those are tips from David Horowitz that I think are very, very valid. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756. I wanted to share a little bit of bizarre information with you. I just think it's great. Now, when I found this, I thought, this is interesting. Now, there was a Northwestern University reunion of a group of sorority sisters, and Denise Murphy Burke was telling the story, she said they were all to stay at a sister's home in Santa Rosa, California. There were about 20 of them, and they came from all over the country. And everybody was so excited about the reunion. And she said she was especially looking forward to her best buddy, as she called her, Barbara, that was coming in from Ohio. Now, prior to her arrival, Denise received a call from her friend, and her friend said, my suitcase is packed, my ticket is in my hand, but you know what? I don't think I can come. Apparently, her son had called her and begged Barbara not to go. He had had a very powerful dream in which she was in a fatal accident at the reunion. She said that based on that alone, she would have changed her plans, but her son had said to her he had also had a similar dream 3 years before that his father would die very suddenly. And 5 days after that dream, his father died while he was taking a shower. His father was only 48 years old at the time. So his son felt like he was responsible because of the vividness of the dream. And he had never shared this dream, this prophetic dream, with his mother. But now he said, you've got to stay home, Mom. Now, Barbara wasn't with us. She didn't take the trip. And the plan for the second day for the on the reunion event was to take a horse-drawn open wagon ride through the vineyard countryside. And she said, 9 of us climbed up on the first carriage as the driver was hoisting his bulky body into the driver's seat. And suddenly, the two horses that had been hooked up mistook a loud sound for a signal to go. They lurched forward, threw the driver on the ground, and she said, there were 9 of us in this wagon, and the horses were going at a full gallop. She said, I managed to get up to the driver's seat and pulled back on a large wooden lever, which seemed like it should be the brake, but it didn't slow the wagon down, but I held on to it for dear life. She said, we were totally out of control. The horses were just running, and we realized a freeway section was right in front of us, and the horses were heading right for it. But for some reason, as soon as they got close to the freeway, they took a 90-degree turn on two wheels onto a frontage road, and they went at full speed for one of the telephone poles that lined the road. Now, the pole ended up going right between the two horses, smashing the yoke, and they were freed. But all of us were flung out of the carriage, and all of we women were thrown all over the ground like rag dolls. Nobody got seriously hurt. But when the police arrived and asked, you know, about how everybody was doing, she said, I wonder what would have happened to my friend if she had gone with us. The connection between the mother and the son might have saved her life. Fascinating story. We all have had various experiences like that, and it's amazing, so I wanted to share that with you. Well, the salmon recipe will have to wait until tomorrow. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. I'm so delighted you were able to share this time with me. We'll be back with you tomorrow talking with the Dollar Store Diva. Woo! She's going to be fun. I hope you have a chance to join us and tell your friends. You're the master of your fate. The master of your, captain of your soul. Always remember that. You're the boss in your world. This is Donna Sebo. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to the Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to the Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.